Thanks, Brooke. The, no, stand up at the... Thank you very much, Brooke. Appreciate the opportunity to come today and speak to the National Ethanol Conference. We've been a strong supporter of the first generation technologies moving forward, and appreciate the opportunity to come here today and give you a little bit of update on our first project in Florida, which we have completed the construction last year. So INEOS is, many of you know, we're part of a large, INEOS Bio, the group I'm with, is part of the overall larger INEOS group. Large chemical company, privately held, headquartered in Switzerland. We have about 50 manufacturing plants in the commodity chemicals sector globally, 15,000 employees, and we have a significant presence here in the U.S. with plants in California, Texas, Alabama, et cetera. So most of our areas in the standard commodity chemicals space, we're a large licensor of chemical process technology as well. And a lot of the assets that INEOS has today came out of the former BP Chemicals, which is where I came from. So 4 years ago, we acquired technology to move into the cellulosic bioethanol space. And we've spent, the technology was developed about 20 years ago. It's a thermochemical, biochemical pathway, syngas fermentation. So strong support from the federal government, both the DOE as well as the USDA. And we broke ground in February of 2011. We completed construction last June and entered commissioning. The plant itself is a is on a 70-acre site in Vero Beach, Florida, next to the Indian River County landfill. The feedstocks are agricultural, vegetative, and yard waste. And MSW, the post-recycled MSW, will be phased in later at that plant. So we finished the construction, entered into commissioning, started producing renewable power. This facility, it's slightly different technology that produces both renewable power as well as advanced bioethanol. And so we started producing renewable power in September, have completed the commissioning, and we're in the final startup phase now. So we're very excited to bring this new technology online, and excited to talk a bit today about, you know, some of the myths and realities about the technologies moving forward. As Brooke said, you know, there are a number of technologies moving forward and plants that are actually steel in the ground that are being built. You know, during the construction and engineering phase, the EPC phase, we had over 400 people involved in the project. We have about 60 employees full-time at the site. And so we do see, you know, millions of dollars being pumped into the local economy as well as the U.S. economy. 90% of the equipment that we sourced and used at the site for the project was from U.S. manufacturers, so we're very proud of that. But what you're seeing in the 2013-2014 space, and you'll hear more today from my other colleagues on the panel, is, you know, companies like Abengoa, Poet, DuPont, Enerkem, Cure, and Beta, and ourselves moving into this space and actually stealing the ground and, you know, in various stages of construction, commissioning, startup, and production. So the myth that you heard maybe yesterday from either the big oil companies or other people from trade associations that this is phantom fuel is really false. That, and I think Paul will talk a little bit about China, that they've had some good developments in China. But what we see is really a global landscape for moving these technologies forward. Particularly for us, we're interested in waste as a feedstock. As I said, we use agricultural, vegetative, and yard waste. And in the U.S. alone, there's 250 million tons of MSW, which is landfilled each year. So there's a good resource that currently is just being landfilled, put in a hole in the ground, that we think has a better use to, you know, put towards a bioenergy type process like ourselves. And globally, there's a recent report from the World Bank that reports that globally there's about 1.3 billion tons of waste each year, and that was as of 2012, and that is expected to grow to 2.2 billion tons annually. So there's going to be a huge growth in waste that's going to, you know, need a remedy for that, and we see a remedy in waste conversion types of technologies like ourselves and a few others that have been mentioned previously. Now, that figure does not include agricultural waste, so there's a lot of synergies that could be applicable to smaller communities that have, you know, agricultural waste and a small amount of post-recycled municipal solid waste. For example, the Vero Beach facility, it's an 8 million gallon facility on an annual basis, but the population density in Vero Beach is in Indian River County is about 150,000-160,000 people. So it's really looking at maybe a smaller scale for applications for more of a community bioenergy type of presence that brings local jobs and allows for the waste to be disposed of in those local communities and putting not only jobs and resources back into the community, but fuel and power back into the community as well. That does not include the agricultural waste does not include bagasse. We do find it very interesting and applaud the developments that have happened not only with bagasse in Brazil and lots of other countries in Central and South America, but also in this country, and have run bagasse and tested it in our facility, and it does run quite well, and we do get good yield off of it. So we see that bagasse is actually an alternative, an additional feedstock in the future, and really is a complement to those first generation sugar ethanol technologies. So as I said, it's been a 20-year process to bring this technology to market, and I think one of the things that need to have a little bit of a reset on the expectations meter, that when ESA was passed and you had RFS1, you had a lot of these new technologies moving forward, and people had an expectation that it's going to be like an iPhone or something, that you're going to have a technology in the next year or two, when the normal chemical process technology, and this comes from our own experience in developing a number of chemical process technologies, that general cycle is about 20 years. So most of these are on a 20-year cycle to move these forward, and actually for us, that's exactly where we are. There's a number of, if you also relate that back to the other current and existing industries, so refining is 150 years old. First generation, is now more than 30 years old. And even now with going into the Bakken and the Marcellus Shale, fracking technology is 40 years old. So you have a lot of these technologies that have moved forward, and now you're seeing that the advent is really paying off, not only in jobs and construction, but commissioning and eventual gallons that will come into the market. So what do we need? I think that it's been talked about before. We do need, stable policies of not only the RFS, protecting the RFS that allows for these technologies to move forward, having a stability with tax policy so that you don't have this every year if the cellulosic is going to have to be renewed on an annual basis. It should do things like track the RFS so that during that time period, financial investors will look at and say, actually, if you're going to bring those gallons into the market, having a tax policy that equals that is a good thing. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Brooke, and I look forward to answering your questions about not only our technology, but other questions you may have about our views on the industry. Thank you.
So good morning, and thanks for getting the chance of being here. I'm here instead of Adam Monroe, who is the president of Novozymes North America. Adam, unfortunately, couldn't make it, so I'll be speaking to you happily today. Dispelling the myth of phantom fuels. Before getting into the subject, just a few words on Novozymes. We are a biotech company supplying enzymes, also working in microorganisms, and we are proudly supplying 60% of the enzymes used in corn ethanol production in the U.S. today. And we are also have been working for quite a number of years on the next thing to come, this phantom fuel, as some people call it, or cellulosic biofuels. There used to be this saying that cellulosic biofuels or advanced biofuels was always 5 years out. That is no longer the case. We've been working intensively for the last 5 years, actually for the last 10 or 12 years, on improving the efficacy of what we bring to the table, namely the enzymes, together with a number of courageous visionary partners in getting all of this together. And what you can see on the graphs here is the trend we've been on, and the essence of that is that today we are at the point where cellulosic ethanol can be made at a cost similar to corn ethanol. So advanced biofuels are no longer 5 years out. They are actually here. We are ready for them. And as an enzyme provider, I'd also like to make it clear, we are also ready to supply the enzymes needed for this industry. We have two major facilities in the U.S., one in North Carolina, one in Nebraska. And we also have plants in Brazil, in China, and in Denmark. So we are ready to supply wherever the need for these enzymes will be around the world. Looking at the different regions of the world, we can actually see that cellulosic ethanol is coming. In the U.S., as I guess most of you will know, we will see a number of plants coming next year: Poet, Abengoa, Chemtex, DuPont. So that is in the making. That is actually happening. Looking at Europe, we'll also see the first commercial-scale cellulosic ethanol plant coming online with Beta Renewables, and I'm sure that Guido will talk more about that in just a few moments. And this is a truly commercial-scale plant coming online. And in actual fact, if you look at China, in China, the world's first truly commercial cellulosic ethanol plant did start last year, in September last year, with a company called Shenkuang, or SQ for short. They're producing cellulosic ethanol, almost 10 million gallons a year, at a cost that is comparable to corn ethanol in China today. So we actually do have the world's first plant up and running in China, and there are a couple more on the way also in China. Brazil, we are also expecting to see the first plant in about a year with Galbio, with whom we are also working proudly. So cellulosic biofuels are no longer 5 years out. They are actually coming as we speak. So we are ready. The industry is ready, and I hope you are ready too. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Guido? We're going to have plenty of time for questions and answers, so I expect the group to be formulating their questions.
Yes, instead of showing you words, I thought it would be good to show you pictures. We have a 20 million gallon plant that started up at Christmas time in Crescentino, Italy. Crescentino is a place in the middle of nowhere between Milan and Turin in the north of Italy. The plant is built. There should be a way to turn those pictures because there's more than one around. So I don't know who's commanding the... No way? Oh, I see. This way?
Yeah, press play.
Yes, yeah. Great. So I'm in control. I was saying Crescentino is a place in the middle of nowhere between Milan and Turin, in the middle of the rice field region. We have been developing this as Chemtex and Beta. Beta is the joint venture between Chemtex and Texas Pacific Group and now Novozymes. Our aim has been try to build a real plant, not a demonstration plant, but a standalone, self-sufficient, 20 million gallon operating plant. When we started this task, we were on our own. M&G Group is a $3 billion company, so we had to put the money ourselves. Then we built, and people came. And now we are not only showing the plant, and there is literally an army of people that want to come. Between February and March, we will have over 100 delegation that they want to come and touch with their own hands and see with their own eyes that the plant is there and the performance are met. But also We have developed an alliance with Novozymes because there were two or three points to be explained to the market, to be guaranteed to the market. The first one was, is the technology ready to deliver? And as speakers before me did mention, yes, the technology is ready to deliver. You have to show plants. So our plants is a bit ahead of the others. In the United States, you will have several plants coming up through the course of 13 and 14. So within the next 12 to 18 months, you will see more than one plant, more than one technology. To the risk of going against the interest of beta, we need to have more than one supplier of technology because nobody's going to bet on a single company. So I'm not only happy, but I am supported by the fact that the DuPont, the Poet, the Ineos, the Clariant are going to be around because customer need definitely an alternative. So technology is going to be there. Now, with Novozymes, we made a step forward because the customer needs to know not only that the plant is there, not only that someone can guarantee a capex, but also someone has to be responsible for the conversion cost. So now, with the largest enzyme manufacturer and with our process engineering guarantees, there are two very large balance sheet companies that will go to the customer and say, don't worry, if we tell you that there is so many cents a gallon of conversion, we're going to stand by on our guarantees. So now we have a technology, we have a capex, we have a comfort on the variable cost. Not only because Novo and Beta will guarantee, but also because people will see the plan running and they will check day in and day out that what we say is true. The next step will be in the what-if game, what about the biomass? I think biomass is going to be the next sore point of large-scale delivery in the United States. I have been accused many times to be too bold and to be too forthcoming in mentioning numbers. Nobody want to speak about numbers. So when I take the stand and I say, look, I can make a plant that will make cash cost ethanol below $1.50 a gallon, substantially below $1.50 a gallon, people say, oh, we saw other people, but they went bankrupt. They say, well, I'm not getting bankrupt. I'm here. I have a plant running, so please come and see. I think it's important that we understand that when we say less than $1.50 a gallon, we talk about a biomass that is in the $50, $60 per dry metric tons. If we're talking about biomass, it's going to be $100, $120, then it's going to be a problem. I have to tell you that United States is lagging way behind the rest of the world because of the 150 delegations we're talking about for the next 2 months, we're talking about maybe 10 people from the U.S. The Brazilian think that they can collect straw and leaves of sugar cane at $20. The Southeast Asian think that they have hundreds, literally 700, 800 million metric tons of residual palm oil industry, 350, 400 million of which lay in three states, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Thailand. But I have a company from the Mediterranean, North Africa, that says a single company, that says I got 6 million tons of rice straw. What's the price? $10 deliver. There are a lot. When I say a lot, I'm talking about tens of people in Belarusia, Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan. They think that they have residual wood at $20 deliver, $25. In the United States, the delivering and the guaranteed delivery of the biomass is going to be the real issue. I have no doubts that the companies that are around this table and few more will build 20 plants, 25 plants in economically viable, competing not only with the first generation, but with fuel, with oil at $100 per barrel. The real issue in the United States is how do we square the circle and making biomass supply competitive and convenient for the suppliers. And now we guarantee the biomass supply. Because I think that we are poised to see tens of plants in the U.S. But if you consider 22 billion gallons, so say 60 million metric tons of cellulosic fuel, even if you consider 50% of that, and if you divided that by 30 million gallons, you're talking about hundreds, literally hundreds of plants. Hundreds of plants at even considering $150 million per plant, and this is a number that I recognize and most of the industry doesn't, because people say it's going to be $300, $400, $500 million per plant. We're talking about several tens of billions of dollars. Those several tens of billions of dollars cannot be built on balance sheets of the current ethanol producers. They have to be financed by the financial community, which is being heavily burnt by the first generation success, immediate success, and now troubles. In order to build a plant there, you need a technology supplier. You see many here. Reliable. You see many here. You need a variable cost guarantor. You see one here, but there'll be more. And again, I'm pretty sure that Paul joins me in saying that the market must have an alternative. Today, I am happy to be in partnership with the Sol Game in Town, but we are expecting the Sol Game in Town to be a multiple game in town soon. So in terms of conversion costs, I think we're pretty much in good shape. In terms of the first 10 or 15 plants in the U.S., I don't see any problem at all. What I am inviting people is to consider biomass as the issue and to start thinking about how to deliver biomass at a sustainable rate. Now, of course, the technology helps. Initially, some of the technology were claiming, I need corn, or I need straw, or I need wood. And a single biomass or single feedstock technology is getting out of fashion. Now, most of the technology, definitely beta for sure, are saying you don't need to have a single feedstock. In the Crescentino plant runs on straw in the summer, on corn stover in the fall, on rice straw in the winter, and between the rice straw and the straw winter to summer, we will use arundo, we will use poplar, we will use wood. So most of the technology, and mine for sure, and I am ready to stand by my guarantee, will use the same plant for multi-feedstock. No change of hardware, no change of software, just no change of enzymes or yeast, just mild modification in the process conditions. That will increase the opportunities to have multiple feedstock coming from the same region, and will not force the region to be the place where you have to have a single feedstock. This will be music to the ears of the NGOs, to the sustainability guys, and to the people that think that we are changing the face of the United States or of the world because we are forcing people to plant one single feedstock. Nevertheless, feedstock is going to be the key. So on our side, we are saying, come and see the plant. The plant is ready. The plant is going. Come and see the variable cost. We are willing to stand by. The people that talk to us and to Novo will have a commercial proposition that will be pretty straightforward. So we are in the position to join and severally guarantee the performance costs. We are saying less than $1.50, sometimes less than $1.30, depending on the cost of biomass. And we think if the country delivers biomass at $50 a ton, we will have a bright future for second generation ethanol. If the country delivers under $1 per metric ton, not only the future of cellulose ethanol in the United States is going to be less bright than the rest of the world, but clearly we will be our destiny will be to import cellulose ethanol made elsewhere, South America, even Europe, Africa, or the United States, or Southeast Asia. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Guido. Our last speaker is Marty Mitchell of Clarion.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like either there were early flights out or late parties last night, but I'm glad that all of you that are in the audience are here and attentive, and appreciate the invitation to join this distinguished panel with a number of impressive technology companies that certainly are part of the global solution in the future. Briefly, I wanted to introduce you to Clariant. Clariant is a chemical company, $8 billion chemical company with U.S. headquarters based in Charlotte, North Carolina, with global headquarters in Basel, Switzerland. We have about 22 plus thousand employees worldwide, and we're focused on a number of different chemical intermediaries. What's significant is in 2011, Clariant actually acquired Sudchemi, which was Sudchemi is a leader in adsorbent and catalyst-based technologies. Sudchemi has been developing the technology for lignocellulosic biomass, the sun liquid process, since 2006, and now that's completely wrapped up under the Clariant umbrella as of July of 2012. Just briefly, we do have a global footprint worldwide. The dark shaded countries are all the countries around the world where we have operations in over 70 countries around the world. One of the things that I wanted to bring to your all's attention is the fact that we have over 7 years of R&D experience in integrating a complete technology solution. So back when we were Sudchemi and decided to go into this industry, we determined that it was critically important to integrate a complete process technology solution and not just bring parts of technology, but bring a complete technology solution. So since 2006, we've been working on integrating the complete technology solution around specialized and optimized enzymes and microorganisms, and how that relates into bioprocessing and ultimately to large-scale manufacturing. So we have all the in-house capabilities to optimize enzymes, biocatalysts, screen those, and put those into a pilot process and industrial bioprocesses. One of the ways we do this, one of the key mechanisms is ultra-high throughput screening system that we've had operating since 2006, where we're optimizing enzymes for each specific feedstock. So we see that optimizing enzymes for each feedstock provides a highly optimized a solution, and we have already optimized enzymes around corn stover, sugarcane bagasse and residues, and wheat straw, which will be the first agriculture residue feedstocks that we'll focus on once we build the commercial plant. So the Sun Liquid technology, there's really four distinct features of it. The first is we do provide on-site process integrated enzyme production, of which those enzymes are tailored to each of the feedstocks that we're processing. We also have a C5C6 organism that converts all sugars to ethanol, and we've also innovated around a ethanol purification and separation step that also helps with the energy footprint requirement. I know probably some of you in the audience may not be aware or familiar with Clarion, so I wanted just to show a brief video that highlights our company and technology.
Innovation Spotlight. Sun Liquid process converts straw to biofuel. Obtaining biofuels from the sugars of arable crops is standard practice. A new approach which holds out huge potential worldwide is the use of agricultural residues as an alternative feedstock. For example, bioethanol could be made from straw from Asia's rice paddies or residues from sugarcane in South America, corn stover in the United States, or wheat straw in Europe. The Biotech Sun Liquid process now allows Clariant to obtain difficult-to-extract sugar from non-food feedstocks such as cereal straw, corn stover, and bagasse. The sugar is then converted to ethanol. This approach overcomes the food versus fuel debate and offers an efficient way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in comparison to fossil fuels. Whatever agricultural waste is available in the region can be used. In Europe, that is predominantly wheat straw, which is supplied in bales and cut into pieces. The process comprises four steps, starting with mechanical and thermal pretreatment. In a tank, the straw is treated with steam under pressure, which reduces it to fiber bundles. The second step is enzyme production. Clariant produces the enzymes as an integrated part of the process itself, minimizing procurement outlays and making the overall process more cost-efficient. Initially, a small quantity of the straw fiber is separated from the rest, fed into a small reactor, and provides the nutrient medium for the microorganisms that are then added. Under ideal process conditions, these microorganisms, which are tailored to the raw material employed, rapidly produce large quantities of enzymes. The rest of the straw fiber is liquefied in multiple reaction vessels by means of these enzymes. Since the enzymes are specially tailored to the raw material used and the conditions in the reactor, the subsequent process is far more efficient than with standard, non-specialized enzymes. The enzymes release all the sugars available in the straw and convert them to the respective monomers, to the C6 sugar, glucose, and the C5 sugars, xylose and arabinose. The enzymes act as biological scissors, cutting up the long sugar chains. The insoluble lignin is now removed and employed as fuel to provide the energy required throughout the process. The Sun Liquid process is energy self-sufficient, requiring no additional energy from fossil fuels. Next, the sugar solution produced in step two undergoes fermentation. All sugars are fermented simultaneously with the help of specially developed fermentation organisms. In other words, the organisms take up all the sugars at the same time and convert them to ethanol, which is initially dissolved in water. Using these specialized fermentation organisms, about 50% more ethanol is produced than with comparable processes. In step four, ethanol purification, the ethanol is extracted from the water. This is normally achieved through distillation, a highly energy-intensive method. Clariant has developed an alternative, very energy-efficient process that employs specialized adsorbers. These are porous, sponge-like structures that act like a sieve. Water passes through the adsorbers while the ethanol is first bonded to their large surface area and then separated off. The resulting pure ethanol can now be processed to produce biofuel. 4 to 5 metric tons of straw yield about 1 ton of bioethanol, enough to drive some 15,000 kilometers and cut carbon emissions by up to 95% compared with gasoline. Which means the new Sun Liquid process helps to supply the world with fuels that are safer, more sustainable, and more environmentally friendly. Clariant.
So in summary from the video, I just wanted to hit on some summary points, and then I'll show you some additional photos of our pilot and demonstration plant. But in summary, the key features, we do see production cost becoming competitive with first-generation ethanol. The process does work on different feedstocks. We use the same hardware. We just optimize the enzymes depending on which particular feedstock is scheduled to run at that time. The feedstocks, the enzymes are feedstock specific. Therefore, we're able to obtain optimal yields of sugar from the particular feedstocks and convert them all to sugar or all to ethanol via our C5, C6 microorganism. We also see the on-site integrated production significantly helping to reduce the enzyme costs, and we've at this point been able to demonstrate at a 20 cents a gallon enzyme cost for a gallon of cellulosic ethanol. We've had our pilot plant in operation for over 4 years. This is based, all of the technology that I'm describing today is based in Munich, Germany, including our pilot plant. As you saw in the photos, our demonstration plant is online and producing. In July of 2011, this was basically a cornfield, and in July of 2012, 1 year later, we've actually built a state-of-the-art demonstration plant that's actually producing cellulosic ethanol. Here are some pictures from inside the demonstration plant, where we've hosted a number of visitors over the past year. Where we're at in terms of industrial commercialization, we're completing the technology validation in our demonstration plant, which is ongoing in 2013. We're currently in a process to identify commercial partners globally to determine where we will locate plant one. And we'll be ready to deploy the technology by the end of 2013. Not only is a Sun Liquid technology producing cellulosic ethanol, but we also see it as a platform not only to produce cellulosic sugars that other design microorganisms can convert into other green chemicals, but also utilizing ethanol in some regions of the world as a C2 chemical to go into ethylene. I appreciate your time and attention, and thank you very much.